jump right into the scripture this morning. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17 and chapter 18, and we'll be jumping through it. We're going to be talking about this guy named Elijah. If there was ever any guy, especially in the Old Testament, who you would say, man, he was an incredibly righteous and good and powerful man. Like, if you ever had someone, you looked around and said, man, he had some incredibly good days. You know, he had some days where we have this hashtag saying, only God, hashtag only God. Because there are things in our life that we can't explain away, that is only God at work. God working in us, through us, around us. And sometimes we stand back and be like, hashtag only God. Only God could do that. Only God could show up that way. Elijah was that guy who had those things and greater things happen. Chapter 17, he shows up and he just out of nowhere, it starts in verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, Ahab is the king, him and Jezebel leading the country. And so all of a sudden God raises up this Elijah and he places him in this place of ministry, and he has this, the term is prophetic role. He's a prophet, which means really prophets did a couple things. Most people think that they just predicted the future, which they sometimes did, but prophets were a lot more than that. Prophets were people who spoke truth. The prophets were voices from God. God would speak through prophets, and they would come, and they'd speak truth into a situation, and sometimes the truth was, this is coming, get yourself ready. A prophet's main deal, if you read all the prophets, you're like, I don't understand these prophets. There's a lot of them in the Bible. They're the small prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, like these guys who, they just show up, these small books. You're like, I don't even like to read them because I don't understand. They all really say the same thing. This is what's going to happen. Get yourself ready. Repent. Turn back to God. You guys are running from God. Come back. That's what they're trying to do, whether it's through the captivity or be pre-captivity. There were voices that basically says, know that he is God. That's a phrase you'll see a lot in the prophets. Know that he is God. And so Elijah comes to the king, Ahab, and he starts speaking those things. And so all of a sudden, I'm not going to walk through each of these stories. All these crazy only God things happen in his life. If you have your Bibles, you can see some of the headings. I'm going to hit the headings in your Bible. All right? We are like have a Bible table out there. And one of the reasons I wanted to do a Bible table is because there's something about having your Bible, the book that you're connecting with God through. Like this book is special to me. Not just the book, but this specific book is my Bible. I understand. I see it. You know, I underline in it. I write it but they have headings. And so the first heading is this: Elijah announces a great drought. All right. So Elijah comes to Ahab, trying to get Ahab's attention, but also trying to get Israel's attention. Listen, God is sending a great drought. In fact, James 5:17, do we have that, Aiden? It says this: Elijah was a man just like us. Maybe it's verse 5. We'll come back. Then the phrase is, Elijah is a man just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and then it rained. Then it goes on to the final part there. Keep that up there. The prayer of a righteous man, he's talking about Elijah here, is powerful and effective. Through Elijah's prayers, things happen. And so all of a sudden, this drought comes through Elijah, warning Israel. Then it says the next header is, Elijah, through this drought, obviously the water's shrinking, food is limited. Elijah is fed by ravens. God sends Elijah out, and he just kind of shows up in this little brook area. There's water, and then there's like ravens bringing him food. Crazy only God things, right? And so he goes on to the next heading is Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. So finally the creek runs out, and he's like, all right, we got to get moving. He moves to this place of Zarephath, finds a widowed woman, and he says, hey, give me something to eat. And then she's like, I have like this much oil. I don't have anything to give you. He says, just go ahead and make it. I'll take care of you. Somehow, some way, God shows up, and this woman has food for a very long time. Like, she's feeding herself and her son and Elijah for a period of time. Next thing that happens is this widow son dies. Now understand, she's lost her husband already. Now she's lost her only son. She's mourning. She comes to Elijah the prophet and says, Elijah, you're a man of God. Can you do something? And guess what Elijah does? Crazy story. You can read what he does. He lays on the child, and the child comes back to life. Craziness, right? Only God. You know, if Elijah's walking through life during this period of time, hashtag only God. That's what happened today. Stop praying. I prayed and it stopped praying. Hashtag only God. I showed up and I kind of started this little fountain of oil flowing out of this can and just keeps going. Hashtag only God. I rose. God used me to bring back a kid back to life. This is crazy. Then it goes on. He goes back to Ahab with boldness and with confidence and has this crazy big day. He's like, all right, Ahab, there's me who loves God, and then there's you and your 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. And I want to have this little, he really has sets up this little competition, this little competing thing. Let's find out, Ahab, king, worshiper of Baal, who the real God is. Let God show up. If your Baal shows up, then he is God. If my God shows up, let all of Israel be assured of this, that he alone is God. And so they set up, they climb up to the mountain. He calls all the people around, all right? And you have to read the story. I wish I had time to get into it. And he's like, all right, God, listen, Israel, we have drifted away from the one God. He wants you back. And they're like silent. They're like, whatever, you know? We still do the temple thing. We still do some of that. He's like, no. You have drifted away. If my God shows up here, let him be God. They're like, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. If God shows up, if we can see him showing up, I'll believe in him. I'll trust him. And so they all agree. They're like, all right, we'll go to this little competition. We're going to the arena, and let's see this. They're sitting around all day waiting for something to happen. So long story short, Elijah says, why don't you guys go first? And so these 450 prophets plus 400 prophets, they dig this, build this altar, put a bull on the altar, and they start praying, Baal, do something. And it's like birds chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp. That's not a very good bird. I don't have a good bird sound. But there's nothing. Everyone's quiet. The stadium is like totally like, what? And so Elijah, you know, it's funny because Elijah's kind of like a trash talker a little bit. If you really read it, he comes along and is like, maybe Baal can't hear you. And they're like, all right. So they get louder. They're like, Baal! They're yelling up to heaven. He's like, well, maybe he went on a trip. Maybe he's away. Maybe he's on the bathroom. Maybe he's like talking trash to him. And they got over hours, these prophets are like ramping it up. Like really, they're yelling. They start dancing. They start like waving. And then they start like, it's not working. So they start like cutting. They're like, maybe Baal will answer me if I cut myself. And so they're cutting, blood's flowing, and there's nothing happening. And they're still ramping, and finally Elijah, by himself, one on 850 people, a huge crowd around him, he says, let me have my turn. He steps up, long story short again, hashtag only God, God wins. Elijah makes it very difficult for God to show up, pours water on the altar, pours water on the sacrifice. He prays, fire comes down from heaven, proves that God alone is God, and all the crowd is saying, yes, he is God. All right, so only God. Revival. Isn't that what some people pray for? Let's have revival in the land. The revival starts showing up in a little piece. I mean, you follow me? Good days. And then we're all like, yeah, I showed up to work today. I came to church. And Elijah's like raising people from the dead and winning these like huge battles. But listen to what happens next. Over in verse 19. I'm not even sure I put this on the screen. Chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab, King Ahab, he was there watching this, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. He's like, that was a crazy story, Jezebel. Jezebel's like the crazy woman. She's the more wicked of the two. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. She sends a little message to be like, I'm coming to get you. Elijah was afraid. He ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might... Now listen to this. This is a prophet of God. This is someone that had a lot of hashtag only God stories. He sat down under it, the tree, and prayed that he might... Anybody know what the word is? Die. Listen to this. I don't know if you've ever been here, but listen to this, what he says. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. Listen, we have good days. Maybe not Elijah good days, but we have good days. But have you ever realized that there's another season that shows up in our life sometimes? The season of depression? There's a phrase that came about in the 15th century, 16th century. They call it the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul. Before we had electricity, the dark night when there was no stars or moon in the sky, that was the time where you could not see your hand in front. Right? You could not get home if you got lost at night. If you lost light, you were done. The dark night of the soul is like loneliness. Dark night of the soul is like brokenness. Dark night of the soul is when you're running out of hope. You're running out of like, I don't even know where to go here. The dark night is symbolic of a depression. When you get to the point of pray that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. I want to tap out. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm broke. This is not worth it. I've given all that I've had and I have nothing left to give. I don't want to keep going. I've been faithful to you. Can I just go to heaven now? Can you take me home? I don't want to do this anymore. Listen, you either have been there, you are there, or you will be there. And it's not a lack of spiritualness that causes you to head into a depression. You're not in sin because you are depressed. Depression happens. It happened to David. Do you ever read we just read one of his Psalms. Do you ever read a lot of them? Half of them are like, where are you, God? Why am I losing this battle? I don't know if I want to keep going. You read some other guys, Jeremiah. He's the weeping prophet. There's like Joseph. He's in jail in prison. You don't think these men and some women were like struggling with the dark night of the soul? There's different reasons why it comes. Sometimes it's physically, something's off in your body, right? Your body's not functioning well, and so it leads you into a depression. Sometimes it's situational. You ever feel like you've been hit over and over again, like you're getting punched in the gut, you're getting like the uppercut or the roundabout, you know, you're getting, and it's just not one or two, you're just like, you're walking from one place to the other, you just feel like it's situational. Sometimes it's relational. Sometimes it's your soul. You're just in anguish. Sometimes it's burnout. Sometimes you are running so hard and running so fast and getting so much done that there comes a point, like especially really after a high day, there comes a point where your adrenaline is kicking off and you're left empty. That's where I think he was. I think he went through this season of like running and speaking and boldness and listening and obeying God. And he's just like, man, this is good, this is good. And he gets to a point where I don't know if he had anything else to give. I think he's exhausted. He's like, you ever get to that point where he's exhausted, but then he looks around like, it doesn't even matter. It's not accomplishing anything. You ever get to that point? Of like, you're looking at your life, looking around, and you've been striving for years, and you feel like you are two steps back where you were 2 years ago sometimes, whether financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, you're just like, maybe you're just spinning wheels. You're trying to be obedient to God in your finances, and you're like, I'm actually more in debt because more has hit me. You're trying to be obedient to God in your ministries. You're like, God, I'm going to step in faith. You ever do that? You step in faith. I'm out there. I'm walking on water. And then the water kind of gives way, and you're like in the water. And you're like, God, you told me to step. And then you're not showing up. And you just want to like, I'm tapping out. I don't want to do this. You know what the problem sometimes is? We can't even see it in ourselves. We can't even identify that we're in this depression. Like, other people may, they're afraid to tell you. They want to tell you. They see the look in your face. They see the way that you're drawn. They see the way you're walking. They see the energy. Your spouse may see it. But you can't. I want you to look at this again. I want you to see the identifiers. Like how can you see it in yourself? And maybe the question is, are you experiencing these things right now? Number one is this. Maybe you've had a threat. Listen to what it says. Now Ahab told Jezebel, and Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. May the God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of the. Maybe if you looked at your life, and again, put these all together, but you are feeling attacked. You feel like that people and spiritual forces are all against you. They're fighting you. There's like arrows coming at you. That's what he feels. Listen to the next, number two. Elijah, this is verse 3, was afraid. All of a sudden, these negative emotions, this fear starts ramping up in your heart. Like you have panic attacks in bed. You have anxiety. You're like, I don't know if I want to. You understand where I'm coming from? If there's like anxiety that's rampant in your life, then you might be heading down this road of depression. Number three is this. He ran for his life. Yeah, you can run in your life, but there are times, and this doesn't always happen with your feet or physically, but sometimes it happens in all sorts of emotional ways. You run from your life. You may be run. That's actually said. What you may run from your wife. You know what I mean? Like, but you start pulling back. Maybe you're running from your. You're just clocking in, clocking out. Maybe you're just kind of like. Shutting down? You're following me this morning, aren't you? That's a sign. You're running for your life. The next part says, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Listen, he starts isolating himself. When you're heading into depression, you start building walls, and you start pushing people away. Listen, if you start seeing that in your life, you may be heading toward a depression, or you may be in it. You start you start coming to church. You stop that because I don't want to be around people when I'm depressed. You stop returning phone calls. You stop returning emails. You may even be in conversation with somebody and be out of conversation with somebody. You like cut the conversation off before it gets anywhere. You're sending them away so that you don't have to deal with it. The next one is this. And we kind of hit this, but while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, you start withdrawing more and more into loneliness, into this kind of interior of yourself. He came to a bush tree, sat down under it. He prayed that he might die. You're like, you're struggling with prayer? Like, you don't even know what to pray? Because all your prayers seem so negative? Maybe you're heading into a dark night of the soul. You ever felt like you've had, this is what he prays, I've had enough? Well, I forget how Popeye said this. This is all I can take and I can take no more? If you've been there, you're like, I'm past my limit. If you feel like that over and over again, you might be there. Here's one, take my life. I'm not, you know, there's suicidal thoughts, which is dangerous, and obviously you're in a depression. But there are times that we're not necessarily suicidal, but in our heart we're like, we're okay with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going out to kill yourself, maybe, but if God called you home, and we're all there, you know, like, God can call us home anytime, but we're like, I want you to call me home soon. You may be there. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. You ever self-medicate? You know what self-medicate is. You're hurting, and so you want to just feel numb. Like you don't want to feel fear anymore. You don't want to feel the negative side of things. You just feel like I just want to numb the pain. Novocaine when you're getting your teeth done. I would recommend it, right? When you're getting drilled, those nerves in there feel it. So I would recommend. So what we do and with emotional pain, rather than deal with emotional pain, is we'll self-medicate. We will use we'll use alcohol sometimes, but we'll also use like food, TV, sleep. I mean, there's all sorts of different hobbies, spending, travel. I don't know. We all may deal with it differently, but if you can look at yourself and you realize that what you're doing right now, you're doing because you're trying to numb the pain, you're trying to numb the depression, you're trying to numb the dark night of the soul. Let me just say that what God created for good, we can also use for evil, right? So those things can be taken and we can use those things to get away. This is where I wanted to. I'm guessing, since you're staring at me, that you understand what I'm talking about this morning. Whether someone in your life or you've been there. But this is what I want. I wanted to give you hope, not depress you. Because God shows up. Listen to what. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He's like, all right, let me just say that God doesn't leave you there. You might be there in a season, but there is other days, there are other seasons coming, and God does show up. He does want to be part of your struggle, the part of your dark night of your soul. He is not a God who leaves you there. Let me just tell you this either. God does not make him feel guilty. He's like, you're an idiot, Elijah. I have this only God story, this only God story, this only God story for you, and now you want to tap out? He doesn't make him feel guilty. God understands, and God shows up, and God starts kind of walking with him through his depression, through his dark night of the soul, so that he can get to healing at some season in his life. So this is what he does. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked with hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. Sometimes where God starts is with the physical side. You understand that when you're in the dark night of the soul, sometimes you just let things go. You can't eat. You can't drink. You can't sleep. And so all of a sudden, it physically weighs on you. Let me just tell you what happens when it physically weighs on you. It spirals even worse. When your body is off, all your thoughts are off. Think holistically, right? Your immune system is off. You get more sick. Your stomach's turning. You may feel like you're having a heart attack when it's really an anxiety attack. You know what I mean? Like there's all these physical things. God does care about the physical. Sometimes what we can say to the people who are walking the dark night of the soul is, get up and get something to eat. Come eat with me. Start taking care of you physically. God wants to take care of you physically. You need to start physically. That's where he starts with Elijah. The physical side. Get yourself so that you are at least have a stomach that's full of food so you can move on to the next part. Listen to what it does. So he eats, but he still falls back asleep. He's like, oh. And sometimes, listen, when you've been like having good day after good day and you're exhausted, sometimes we can use sleep as a numbing agent, but sometimes we just need it, right? Don't mix. It's hard sometimes to draw the line between the two, but don't mix them up, because sometimes we need to rest. We need to get away. We need to withdraw so that God can show up in our life. And sometimes we need a good night of sleep or a good couple days of sleep so that our mind can clear. And I wish I could go into the physio. I'm not a doctor, but I wish I was, because that'd be fun. But you're... When you're not sleep, from what I understand, what I've read, your brain clouds. You ever been walking around in a fog? That's part of the depression. In order to clear it, sometimes you need physical sleep and food. But it doesn't stop this at the physical side. The angel of the Lord came back to him a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for their journey is to." He sends them on a journey. He's like, "Listen, I'm gonna send you a place. I'm gonna send you to the mountain of God." Sometimes the best thing we can do, along with, again, there's a lot of different pieces to it, is keep going back to the mountain of God. keep going back to his presence. Keep going back to his voice. He's not angry with you. He loves you. And so keep going back. So he goes on this long journey. Again, listen to 40 days and 40 nights. God doesn't necessarily lead him out of it right away. You know, if you're looking for a magic pill this morning, I'm not giving you a magic pill. I'm giving you the long-term version of what God does for Elijah. All right? And it's not like one day and you're out. You know, pray a prayer and you're done. God has a journey for you. And I don't know what that journey exactly looks like, but it may be similar to Elijah's. 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. So God gives him some time. And the word of the Lord came to him. God speaks. What are you doing here, Elijah? So sometimes God asks you a question. What are you doing here? Why are you here? See, this is the question sometimes we're afraid to answer. We have a lot of thoughts on why, but we don't want to process them. And so this is what Elijah says. And maybe you felt this way. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I've been obedient. I've followed him. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. The people I'm trying to minister to make a difference and don't even care. They've torn down your altars. They put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm scared for my life. Listen to this word. I am the only one left. God, I'm alone. And I don't want to be alone anymore. Now, do you understand what happened? He sent his servant away just a few verses earlier, but now he's magnifying where he's always already at. They're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand at the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then this is one of my favorite sections of scripture. A great and powerful wind came and tore the mountain apart. Like when you want to hear God speak, I wonder what voice you want to hear him in. Or sometimes we're like, we're looking for God to speak and we want something big, like right in the sky. You know, and so God comes along and there's a wind, powerful wind that knocks the mountain, there's rocks falling, and the Bible says God's not in the wind. Then an earthquake comes by, we're like, God would surely show up in an earthquake. When he speaks, there's going to be some shaking of the ground, and God wasn't in the earthquake. Then a fire goes by, surely God is, you know, for Moses he was. Surely God would speak through a fire, you know, like a burning bush type thing, but God wasn't in the burning bush. It says, then do you know what the phrase is? A gentle whisper comes by, and God speaks through the whisper. God shows up in that small, quiet voice. And I was like, whoever wrote this, and we don't know who really wrote it, I want to know what God said to him. You know, I mean, if God whispered something, I deserve to know. I want that voice to me, you know? But maybe it's because God doesn't share that, because maybe God says something different to each person walking the dark night of the soul. Maybe God has a different word for you this morning than what he has for me. Maybe in your dark night of the soul, God wants to speak differently to you. Because let me just tell you, of all the things in the scripture, I don't have time to go further because we have some other things I want to do this morning with you. But I want you to get to this point. I want you to get to this place. That God, in the midst of our dark night, in the midst of the season of like not losing hope and not being able to see our next step sometimes and feeling alone and wanting to tap out and wanting your life to end or whatever, wherever you are in your discouragement or depression or like loneliness, that God wants to show up in the middle of it. He wants to whisper something in your ear, even this morning, that might give you hope so that at some point you may enter a different season of your life. God does not leave you in your season of darkness. Listen, the hard part sometimes when we're walking through that season is like we think it's ever going to end. It's like it just goes on. What's that song? It goes on and on, my friends. You know, we just think it's going to keep going. It's like a never-ending song. You guys didn't get that one. But, you know, it just keeps going and going and going. Let me just tell you, there is a season to it. You may not be able to, it might not be today to get out of it. It may not be tomorrow. I don't know what God's timing is. But as we keep going to the mountain of God, sitting at his feet, listening to that whisper, stop self-medicating. Stop, because listen what happened. Oh, I have to tell you one more thing that he does. Let me, because this is important. He starts bringing people around Elijah who can support him. There's this guy, it's this guy named Elisha. Really similar name, different prophet. All of a sudden, God says, all right, I'm going to send you someone who you're not alone. And he starts bringing people into his life to support and encourage and channel, like that we talked about in the men's ministry. Listen, God wants to speak, and that's why we have the church, so that you don't have to go through things alone. You don't have to carry shame over walking through the dark night of the soul. In my opinion, I think almost everyone in Scripture probably walked through that season. You know, Mother Teresa walked through a season like that. Martin Luther walked through a season like that. You know, over and over in history, there were people who walked through the dark night of the soul, and God was not absent or not, he wasn't displeased with them. He loved them and adored them, and he wants to be present with you in it. This morning, what we want to do is, we have a song that we want you to sit in. And my prayer this morning is that God speaks in the song, in this moment. Maybe it's not even through the song. Maybe he's going to whisper. You get in a place where everyone else disappears for a moment. You may close your eyes. You may keep your eyes open. You may look at the painting. You may look at the whatever you, but God has, I'm praying that God has something special to speak to you this morning. That he has a gentle whisper, but close off all those other sounds and start really ask God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you this morning.
Before we get into the song this morning, I thought, I've been thinking about this topic and how many times I have experienced this spiritual depression in this particular time that God placed on my heart this past weekend. It's really difficult for me to walk through, just to kind of reflect and revisit on. It was the last semester before I was heading out of college, and I felt like my life was unraveling behind me, that all the relationships that I had built, the life that I had built, the security that I had was just crumbling apart. I had no sense of direction. I was just desperately trying to hold on to something that was constant. I had nothing that I was looking forward to, nothing, no job ahead of me, no relationship ahead of me, nothing that was holding on to what I thought my life would look like. I had lost my identity. I was looking for validation in all the wrong places. I was looking for someone to tell me what my worth was. I was making unwise and unhealthy decisions, things that I still think and process through and still feel, honestly, some shame from. I was chasing after anything that could just fill that empty space. And I still remember waking up in the morning with a pit in my stomach and going to bed with the same pit in my stomach. Like, I just felt alone and unworthy. And as I process back through it, I feel like it was a hard season to walk through, but it was one of the sweetest seasons to walk through as well. Because as I look back, God was not silent then. It felt like he was, but he wasn't. There's evidence of him throughout that entire season of my life. And as I began to put one step in front of the other and take care of myself physically and surround myself with other people that were wise and leave the past behind me and lean into him, he began defining my identity for me. And all of a sudden, nothing else in life was worth anything. He became my enough, and he spoke into those dark places. So as we go into this song, I just pray the words over you, but I also just want you to spend some time. I don't know if you're in that season right now or if you've experienced that. You need to lay some of that stuff down. Or as Mike said, you're most likely going to walk through one of those seasons. So I just spend some time this morning just praying ahead of that or in it. Or laying it back down before our Savior.